So, Thanksgiving time. I'm not really going to be talking about Thanksgiving. It would be very easy to just do that. Because this is the time of the year we stop and we consider everything that's been going on. And, you know, this season of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all, we stop and we think about what's been happening, right? We consider everything that we're thankful for. We usually enjoy time with family and friends, right? People get together that haven't seen each other in a while. Or at least you send a card or make a phone call. Reach out to somebody that you haven't spoken to in a while just to say, hey, thinking of you. It brings out the good in us, and it brings out the bad in us, right? When you get together with everybody, we consider the things we have and we consider the things we don't have. So, I mean, this time of the year, you can either be really happy or you can be really sad, right? Depends on what you look at, right? Well, and it really causes us to look into the family that we're born into. Some of us may be happy about that family, and some of us may not be happy about that family. We don't get to choose our family, right? You have who you have. The truth is that no matter what family we're born into, there's a family that's more important. And we're sitting amongst that family right now. It's the family of God. Hallelujah. Each one of us, I think everybody I see here today, is part of the family of God. So, that's something we can be happy about. Amen? Yeah. So, today I'm actually going to be speaking about the family of God, or the title which God gave me for it is The Anatomy of God. Of course, being a nurse, I would think along those lines. The Anatomy of God. So, actually, what I'm speaking about is along a lot of the same lines that Pastor Jim has been talking about. And he's been teaching us. It's just a different flavor, comes in a different package. But we're still talking about the family of God. Excuse me, for some reason I got this frog. Got to get rid of him. So first of all, as we look at God, we know that he is a triune being. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three of them make up one. You say, how can that be? Well, if you think of it as a family, you can easily figure that. But then, you know, Scripture says they're one. Like one. Okay. Well, there's just some things we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. Right? You just accept by faith God is one. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't actually called God the Son, I don't believe, until he was born as a human. He was God the Creator. But then God the Father is also called God the Creator. So don't ask me how it all works. It's just that God is God, right? Now we know when Jesus was born, All three of them were present. The Old Testament is full of the accounts of God, the Father, and his role of being supreme being. And I'm going to have the next few verses just put up on the screen. We don't really have to turn there. Job 33:4. And Job 33, and Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. And it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." So here we've seen God, he is called the Almighty. Remember hearing that in our song today? He is Almighty, Almighty God, and he gives us life. Then Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me blameless." So Almighty God demanded perfection, right? If you're going to be blameless, that means you don't do anything wrong. Nothing. Well, we soon found out that that was a little hard for the human race. You ever try just always being blameless, even as a born-again Christian? It's like, oh, gee, that wasn't really how God would have done it. Then in Exodus 6:3, we see God speaking to Moses, and he said, "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, Lord, was not known to them." So now he's introducing himself as Lord. And we're not going to get into explaining all these words about God. That's a different message. But now he was trying to show his nature of being their rescuer, more of a father figure. But they really didn't understand Father until Jesus came along, when he tried to teach them about Father God. So we know the third person of the Trinity as the Holy Spirit. And I've already spoken about that in a previous message, which you're quite welcome to go online and listen to all of it, because I can't go over all of that today. But we'll touch on it a little bit here. And we're going to go to Luke 1, the 30th, and I want you to go ahead and turn with me there. We're going to show a few little things here. Luke chapter 1. The 30th verse to 35. Now this was at the conception of Jesus. We see that both the Father and the Holy Spirit were present. So verse 30, he's talking to Mary. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now this is the verse that we're getting to here. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." So here we see the Son of God being mentioned. Now notice this is Mary. And God sent an angel to give her this mighty revelation of what was going to happen. Because this had never happened to anyone. A virgin giving birth to a child. So then, at Jesus' baptism, all three of them were present again. The Holy Spirit revealed himself in the form of a dove and lit upon Jesus. So turn with me to Matthew, the third chapter, the 16th and 17th verses. I know all of this you've heard before, but we're stirring it up, right? We're bringing it to the forefront because this is what the Holy Spirit thought was important for today. Amen? Getting us ready for this season that we're having. So Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Now Jesus was at his baptism, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's pleased with this Son. And we see the Holy Spirit in a tangible form so that everybody could see that this was a real individual. Now, he didn't appear as a spirit. That most probably would have scared everybody. But he came as a dove, very gentle, and lit upon Jesus. So we've seen God the Father, and we've seen God the Holy Spirit, and now we're going to talk about Jesus. And this is the one that I'm going to talk about the most today. When we're talking about the anatomy of the second person of the Trinity, anatomy of God the Son. Now, Jesus is a little complex, wouldn't you say? He's all God and he's all man. Now, how do you do that? He's all God and all man. We know he got his blood from God the Father, right? And he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And if you just turn a page back to Matthew 1, 20-23, now we see that we're talking about Joseph. First of all, we had Mary. Now we have Joseph. And her husband, I mean Joseph, was engaged to Mary, and all of a sudden find out, oh, she's expecting. Well, the law was you stone them to death, right? But he, being a just man, we'll just read 19. You don't have to show it if you know. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Verse 20. But while he thought about these sayings, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So here's God with mankind in the form of a baby. He's human. He's human. He's born, he's brought into the world just like you and I, just as a little baby. He was brought into this world so that he could experience everything that we experience. Even being born as a child, as a baby. Just a little side note here. God confirmed it with Mary, and he confirmed it with Joseph. Any big event, God's gonna confirm to both the husband and the wife. Here's an example. He doesn't expect you just to blindly go and trust what somebody else has been told. The Holy Spirit confirms to us. And so if you don't have peace about something, you keep praying until you got that peace. Amen? It's just a little side note. Experience along the way. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get these little nuggets. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God is with us. And then we're going to go to John 1:14. Praise God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was in the flesh, but he was the Word that God had spoken. He's the spoken word being revealed in the flesh. All of the words that God speaks comes to pass. Amen? And if we speak God's words, it will come to pass. Amen? It has life in those words. That life of the word continues on and on and on. In messages I've spoken before, we talked about light. It just keeps on going and going and going, right? It was God spoke light into being, and it just kept on going. Well, when God speaks something, it's going to come to pass. He speaks something into your life, it's going to come to pass. The only difference is we have something to do with it. If we speak the same words as him, it will come to pass. Amen? So just because he spoke it to us, if we don't mix faith with it and don't add to it, then we won't see the benefit of it. But he's spoken it for us, for our benefit. Amen? So, Jesus was God, but he laid down his life, or his deity, so that he could experience everything that we experience. He had a body just like you and I. I want you to kind of look at yourself. Look at your hands. Look at your legs. Look at all of you. So, now, look at the person next to you or close to you. See if you can find, you got to do it now. I don't see all of you looking. You know I require participation. I'll call you out if I don't. No, that's okay. Okay, so the person next to you is flesh, right? But did you know you could be sitting right next to Jesus and not even know it? Oh, that would change a few things, wouldn't it? Well, Jesus used parables. And that's a parable, by the way. I always have a good time. If you can't laugh with me, then I'm sorry, but I'm having a good time. Okay, so the church in the New Testament is called the body of Christ, right? We've heard this being preached on a lot lately, right? Okay, so we're going to go over some scriptures. Turn to Romans. Have you had to turn there recently? Romans, the 12th chapter? We're just going to read a little just to put it all fresh in your mind. Okay, 12, 4, and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Okay, so then let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And then we're going to verse 12. And I debated about reading all this, but it's the Word of God. So, 12 to 27, we're just going to read right through it. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is one body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Can you just say you don't belong to a family that you're born in? You can pretend. You can try to divorce yourself from the family, but the truth is you're still part of the family. So, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Oh, you mean you don't get to pick? Just as He pleased. I guess He knows better. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? I think as Pastor said, if you're all an eye, where would the body be? I mean, just one big eye, the all-seeing eye, yeah? But if we were all an ear, how would we be able to see? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which it lacks. Just for instance, some of our internal organs are very important. But you don't see them, do you? But if they stop functioning, you would soon know it, wouldn't you? So they are important. In fact, they're so important, they're protected inside the body where you can't see them. Just for thought. So greater honor is put on those parts that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We should care for one another no matter what part you are, right? And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Boy, wouldn't that be great? If somebody got honor and we all rejoiced with them? Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. I like the way the Lord does parables because he takes something that we know in the natural and he tries to show us something in the spiritual. And that's what he's doing here. He's showing us this whole body. Here we are sitting and we're a whole body and yet not one of us looks the same. Not one of us acts the same. Not one of us thinks the same. But we all have something to put into the body that makes it the body. So every part is important. Now we can't live without certain parts, right? So we know Jesus is the head, right? He is our head. Turn to Ephesians, just a few little ways over. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, I don't think you have the modern English version, but I'm going to just read that in the modern English version. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ himself, from whom the whole body is joined together and connected with every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work and grows, building itself up in love. So love is kind of the liquid that bathes everything. You know, our bodies is so full of liquid. They say water, but it's got a lot of stuff in it. And that is what kind of keeps everything moist and working and all that. It's kind of like love. Love has to just be bathed around everything. Amen? That makes it work right. Now, the Lord just gave that one, so somebody needed to hear that. So, we know that every part is important. Some can be lived without, some cannot be lived without. You cannot live without the head. If you're not in Christ, you're not part of the body, right? This is his body, but he's the head. One thing that's different about the body of Jesus and our human body is when we're born, we're complete, right? We have everything. All of our little parts are there. And they have to grow and all that. But the difference with that and Jesus' spiritual body is that it's not complete. You say, what do you mean it's not complete? It's not complete yet. Yet. Okay? Because he hasn't come back yet, right? So God the Father is the one that's going to say when, right? Even Jesus doesn't know when he is complete. Well, that's interesting. But before we just get into that, I want to tell you that each one, when we talk about the body of Christ, and we see a whole lot of different denominations, a whole lot of different churches, a whole lot of different beliefs, all these different things, you say, how's that all one? Well, each little group or each little thing that you see actually kind of takes on the form of a body, just like Jesus's body. So this church here that we have has all the parts that God would bring in to make the body. Some parts are still missing, right? You can see all the empty chairs. You can say, okay, there's missing parts. But we heard today they're coming. Amen? Amen. Amen. One of these days, if you don't get here early, you're going to have to watch out there. I'm telling you, it's coming. I declare it, it's coming. I just agree with Pastor. How's that? But all these different little churches, there's the head. God talks about the head of the churches. And he's talked about that several different times. Paul gave qualifications for the head or the leaders of the church. Now that head is not Jesus, right? He doesn't have the same power as Jesus, but he's still the head of the local body. Amen? And do you know that God works very systematically in how he does things? He doesn't tell the toe what he would tell the head. He's only going to tell the toe what the toe needs to know what to do to function as a toe. Okay? Now he'll speak to the head about a lot of things that you may never know about. That's why when Pastor Jim gets up here and he's all excited about what's coming and what's going on, why is that? Because God's been talking to him and telling him and showing him things. And you say, well, God hasn't told me that. I see a different vision. God doesn't cause division or double vision. Just a little side note. But he gives direction through a pastor. Now, Jim didn't know I was going to talk about this, but the Holy Spirit did. And you know what? Coming into this church, what did I keep telling you? You're my pastor. And he thought that was a little hard to swallow because he's my son-in-law. I think he's gotten used to it now. Yeah. You know why? Because that gives me protection. I have a covering over me. I have a head that I can depend on and trust God to speak through him to me. And you know, I get so much out of his messages. Why? Because I respect him as the head and I'm listening. And I say, God, what are you saying to me through my son-in-law, my pastor? I love it. You know, it takes a little getting used to. You know, you come in and it's like, who's this young whippersnapper? Now, I never really had that that idea. But, you know, you could. You could say, who's that young guy? I've had experience. I've pastored a church. I've done this. I've done that. Well, guess what? God doesn't tell me what he wants for this church. Because I'm not pastor here. And if anyone ever calls me, some people didn't know the difference between pastor and minister. And some people would like say pastor to me. I said, no, I'm not pastor. Why? Because I recognize my place. If God allows me to speak, it's because he has opened the door for me, right? And that's how each one of us should feel in our positions. God has created us for a unique position. Every one of us is special. Now, just because there's a head doesn't make them any more important than you or I. Uh-uh. If he doesn't do his job right, he's got to answer to God. Same as us. If we don't do our job right, we answer to God. If we don't like what's going on, we got to talk to God. Right? Because the little toe doesn't know what the head knows. Now, there's some defenses that God has made in our bodies, right? And, you know, we always have things that we have to, the enemy in this world, it's a fallen world, our bodies are always having to fight something. Oh, it's flu season. Everybody gets flu, right? Cold, sickness, disease. Disease is just dis-ease. You're not at ease, right? So something's going on. So they label it disease. But they don't know anything better to call it. So the next thing you know, it's a disease. But God built into our bodies natural defenses, right? Our immune system goes into it. As soon as there's a bacteria or a virus or something, our immune system jumps up and says, hey, that's my job. I got to go take care of that. Well, you know what? God has got some defenses in our spiritual body as well. Let's see if I can find what it is here. He's given us prayer, right? We can pray. That's a defense. He's given us authority over the enemy. That's a defense. He tells us not to gossip. Do you know that's a defense? If you're gossiping and spreading discord, that's like a disease coming in and setting into the body of Christ. And what happens? Parts get sick. Parts get taken away. Surgery will cut off any part you want. Right? Well, that's what happens when you're at disease. So there's all of these things that God has given us to fight it. Being in unity, is the most powerful defense system. Being in unity. Following the leadership of what God has given to the pastor. All of these are natural, I shouldn't say natural, are supernatural, I guess, defenses that God has put into a body of Christ. Amen? And all of these parts coming together is what makes up the total body of Christ. So we know that at some point, this time period's going to end, right? So turn with me to Mark 13. And we're going to 32 to 37. Now, I told you, Jesus didn't even know the time when he's coming back. Amen? Mark 13:32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray. That's one of our defenses, watching and praying. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going into a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. See, it keeps getting later and later. And they're still waiting. When is it coming? It's almost a new day. Well, maybe he's coming in the new day. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Notice the all. Watch. So first of all, he mentioned the keeper of the gate to be watching. That's kind of like the pastor, the gatekeeper. He's supposed to be watching, right? But he didn't say that he was the only one that was supposed to watch. He says for all of us to watch. Because he's coming back. And he's coming back sooner than we may realize. But he left a job for us to do. We got to complete this job before he comes back. And that is to be a witness for him. To let our lives show the world the love of God, the goodness of God. He wants us to reap a harvest. There's a harvest that's coming in. And we're going to see that harvest. I believe it's going to be in our lifetime we're going to see this harvest coming in. And we're going to be able to be enjoying the fruits of what many people have labored for years and years and years. My parents have gone on. They thought the Lord was coming in their lifetime. I'm still here. And they're gone. They're enjoying heaven. And I get to still be here. But I get to be part of this, right? Now your life may be touching somebody that's supposed to be part of the body of Christ. Now, Jesus wanted everybody to be saved, right? He died so that each and every person could be saved and become part of the body of Christ. But everyone has a free will, right? Just like we have a free will to do what he's called us to do. But as his body, we can show love of Christ and complete the work that he started. Amen? That's our job. We just have to find out just what part do we play in it. And that is something that the Holy Spirit will tell you specifically. Hallelujah. So in closing, I just want to read to you what Jesus is going to look like when he comes back. Now we've seen that his body, the spiritual body, includes all of us, right? But what does his glorified body in heaven look like right now that we're going to see real soon? Amen? We sang about it. So let's go to Revelation 1. And we're going to read 10 to 18. John was being revealed things to, John the Beloved. And verse 10 starts out. I guess we're not there yet. Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. See, even Jesus recognized that there's individual different churches, right? They're all still part of his body. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. I want you to visualize this with me. We're looking at the glorified Son of God. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. That's the pure snow that just come down. And his eyes like the flame of fire. Can you imagine how piercing those eyes must be? His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. You know how shiny that is when brass is highly polished? Hallelujah. His voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Excuse me. Come up here, Andrew. Finish reading this for me.
Okay. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Do you want to go to 18?
Yes.
I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.
Thank you. This is what our Jesus, our head, looks like. It should bring such awe and respect. If you really read these verses and comprehend what's being said, you're looking at God, the Son, in the glorified state that God gave him. Thank you. So, that's what I want us to think about. This is who's coming back very quickly to come and get us. Are we ready? Are we doing our part? If there was someone here that was not born again, I would have given you opportunity to become part of the body of Christ. But I think everyone here, I know all of you, and I believe you've done that. You've made him Lord of your life. And he's coming back very soon. And he is going to transform us. We're already a new creation, but we're becoming more and more like him. Amen? And we're going to do the work that he has called us to do, right? Come on, Pastor Jim.